some of you recall, during the college football season, we play the fight songs of those universities that deserve to be celebrated, and there are some that do deserve to be celebrated. I think, maybe, we'll see. But anyway, we'll see if you can find the common thread in why these universities need to be celebrated. What's let's play number one, see if people can recognize the tune. Hey, Jeffrey, who's this?
Jeff, this is the University of South Carolina.
The Gamecocks.
I think this is the best part. That's the Gamecocks part.
It's pretty sprightly, actually. Don't hate it.
They don't play it very much. They play the 2001 Space Odyssey.
Anyway, that's University of South Carolina Gamecocks. Who else, Jeffrey? It's got a little bit of a slow wind-up here. I'm not a big fan of this one. I like the Gamecock one better. Who's this?
This is Purdue. Of course, the band with the world's largest drum.
What do you think of this one?
I'm like you. This feels very generic.
There's nothing I can get my teeth into. There's no hook. I'd have a hard time humming.
This definitely
is. Maybe they're singing. I like singing. Listen to that tuba. Big comeback here. It's got a tuba.
The bass guitar and brass.
The tuba solo with singing, one of my favorite fight song.
With the snare drum underneath,
Beautiful. All right, it's kind of rescued itself, Purdue. That's the Boilermakers of Purdue. Okay, well, I'm trying to figure out what this is about. Jeff, who else we got?
Of course, everyone knows Marquette's fight song.
Marquette. What are they now? Are they still the Warriors? Or did they change theirs? The Warriors?
Golden Eagles, right?
Is that what they are? They used to be the Warriors, right?
I think that is correct, but...
And then they decided Warrior was too insensitive to our Native Americans? Marquette. I don't believe we ever played the Marquette fight song. One of my best friends from law school.
Golden Eagles. Gosh. I don't know if that's good or bad that I do that.
Marquette changed his name. Let's see when. One of my best friend from law school went to Marquette and played at Marquette.
They were the Warriors from May 1954 to July 1994.
That's about when I stopped paying attention. 92, 94. So the Golden Eagles. Previous logo had been disrespectful to Native Americans. Yeah. Mark Morata, a friend of mine, I had two very good friends in law school, and he played hoops for
Al McGuire
under Majerus mostly.
I got it.
I think he was a big, bruising. He was your basic
tough, rugged four,
exactly.
Front court guy,
kind of a broken nose, broad shoulders,
yes.
And
looked the part.
Sadly, deceased. He was deeply involved in the effort of Milwaukee to get a new arena for the Bucks.
Didn't get to see Fiserv Arena.
And then he went to the workout one day and he had an aneurysm in the parking lot, and that was that. I have two roommates, one from college and one from and then one of my best friends from law school who is off to a bad start. We're deceased. Anyway, that was Marquette. Nothing distinguished about the fight song. Let's move on. Who's next?
Jeff, these are fighting words for you. This is, of course, the fight song from Brown.
Oh, Brown. The Bruins.
Oh, yeah.
Bruins.
Oh,
Bears.
Yeah.
Brown Bears. That's Brown. Okay. What could possibly link?
I think you'll get this one.
What could possibly link? Who do we got? We started with
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Moved to Purdue.
Marquette and Brown. We have another one? One last entry?
Everybody, be prepared to receive one of the greatest combinations of sound known to man.
Second best fight song in the land. Fighting Irish. It is pretty damn good.
That's a fight song.
Okay, so now I know. Now I have it. I've solved it. These are all universities.
You'd like to solve the puzzle?
I'd like to solve the puzzle, Jeffrey. These are all universities that have said they will open for in-person education in the fall. And I know that because Notre Dame yesterday announced that they would be open for in-person education in the fall. They're going to do it differently, though. They're going to summon back those Golden Domers on August 10th, and they are going to finish the first term by Thanksgiving. They are not going to have breaks, and then they are going to send folks home until January. And the idea there is, if there's going to be a second wave,
correct?
They want to beat the second wave, and they also, and I've heard this in connection, I've obviously heard that Rhodes is thinking about not having people come back after fall break. Because if you go home for fall break, what happens? Everybody goes home for Thanksgiving or fall break, they go back to where they are, then they come back for 2 weeks, and they spread everything they have all over the country, if it's a national university that draws from everywhere, or wherever. They go home to where they are, they come back for 2 weeks, then they go home again. Like it's a recipe for spreading.
Correct. Right.
And so Notre Dame has decided to cut out that, be done with the first semester by Thanksgiving and be in session August 10th. That would be in time to let the football players play football, wouldn't it? Are we celebrating this? Are we celebrating them? A lot of good news, man. A lot of good news. We're into phase two. I can go get that tooth tattoo that I've always wanted. What should I get? Now that I can get a tattoo, what should I get?
Maybe the opening riff, the sheet music of the opening riff of Notre Dame's fight song?
A Buffalo Bills logo?
Oh. The classic one, though. The red bill on the side of the helmet.
Something involving my kids. You know, like...
Come on.
Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew. Peter. Bap.
Mm-hmm.
Bap.
You can do what AJ Styles has done. AJ Styles and his wife are that couple that named their kids all with the same initials.
Yeah.
And he has on his, like, the side of his rib, or yeah, I guess on his ribs, he has all of their birth dates in order. You could do that.
On his ribs.
Correct.
His ribs.
Correct. He has like AJ and then his children's birth dates like listed.
AJ, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our sex therapist, our sex therapist, her kids all are J's, and her mm-hmm. husband has J tattoos on his arm. Like for
the boys.
And yeah, for the other
Well, for Jacob. Shout out to
Jacob. For all the J's, for all the they have
mainly
three J boys. They have three boys. Three J boys there. Ooh. So anyway, I can get the tattoo. It's the good news breaking out all over. What do you think of the Notre Dame plan?
I don't know. Maybe this is me being skeptic or cynical, I guess, eye of the beholder. When I started reading all these stories, like, well, yeah, this is so they can play college football.
I don't think that's true. I think college football is huge, but I think that it's because...
Well, they need the money.
Universities can't. So we talked about the University of Arizona and how they're trying to do their own testing, right? Well, one of the things, I think it was Arizona, that when they announced that they were going to have in-person classes, there's one we missed, I think, by the way, they immediately got a rush of people making deposits. People don't want to pay... And it's something that honestly online private schools are going to deal with or whatever. People don't want to pay premium prices for online education. Online education, I will tell you this, as someone who's just had three kids doing it, stinks.
There's no question.
It just stinks. Like you can learn. Sure, you can. You can also, I guess you can teach yourself from a book. Like who needs any of that?
Sure,
you can
read and learn and yeah.
But learning is about, first of all, a whole lot of it. Is whether you're in high school or whether you are in college, a whole lot of it is the other stuff that goes with it, right?
Yes.
The activities, the debate, choir, football, whatever it is.
Being you know? In your being with the your common room class, and just like right. exchanging.
The lunchroom. Yeah. The lunchroom is whatever.
Yes.
Like all that's what
king of the calf.
Fraternities, sororities, you know, all of that stuff is a huge part. Probably the largest, like it's as important as the classroom part. And then the classroom part, it's not just about here's the information, learn it. It's about discussions with your fellow students, discussions with your professors. It's about
the marketplace of ideas.
And it's just dramatically, and my kids can all testify. I can't explain to you how much better Peter did when he was actually in class than he did when he was in class in his room upstairs. Let's just say grades plummeted, absolutely plummeted. Because it's harder to be engaged.
I think it's another version, and I applaud all that are able to do it, but I was never able to work from home. And I think it's the same type of mindset where when you're in a classroom, it changes your thought process.
It's an interesting phenomenon, though, because one of the things that people have discovered about working from home is that a lot of businesses and that have said, we're never going to let people work at home because they're just going to, you know, we're not going to get the same level of productivity, mm-hmm. have actually discovered that they are getting as much or more productivity. Jimmy Sexton, honestly, is one of these guys. Jimmy Sexton has always been an old school. We're always going to go into the office. We're going to we're going to be there. You got to be there. You got to be there. You got to be there. We're never going to work virtually. No, you can't work from home. You got to be there in the morning and stay late. Jimmy would describe himself as old school. And when I talked to him about this, a few weeks ago, he said, it's unbelievable. We're getting just as much done. And so that is interesting. Work from home, I think, largely has gone exceedingly well and will transform office space, will transform the way we live and work going forward. Learning from home has been, I think, I don't want to generalize. Well, I do. It's been, from everyone I've discussed, a disaster. Like, my brother Tim, actually, though, who teaches a class at Northwestern Business School, he said his students have done better, which stunned me. The work product has gotten better. So that's the exception to the rule. Generally, my view is that the education is not nearly as effective. And more importantly, the simple truth is people aren't going to pay for it. People aren't going to pay for it. Notre Dame is not cheap. Notre Dame is probably 60 grand a year. 65 grand a year. Look at the cost of attendance at Notre Dame. I bet Notre Dame is 65 grand a year. You're not going to pay 65 grand a year to have your kid sitting in his bedroom in East Memphis or wherever and learning online. It's just not, you're just not going to, you know, it's just not, in the end, not going to be worth it. But here's the thing. They're all opening. They're doing.
Jeff, you want to do a final answer?
Cost of attendance, Notre Dame is $69,000.
That's pretty darn close, Jeff. $71,801.
So, yeah, you're not going to do that. So, but they're doing what everyone's doing. They're looking around, and I don't think it's irrational. I think Fishman thinks it's irrational. They're looking around, and they're saying, there's no vaccine about to be here. There's no treatment about to be here. We can't stay inside forever. Let's do the best we can with testing. It's not like we have a foolproof level of, we know exactly how we're going to handle it. It's like, okay, we're doing the best we can. Where everyone's fending for themselves here. This is true whether it's Shelby County, whether it's Georgia, whether it's your local restaurant, or whether it's Notre Dame. They're saying we can't stay inside forever. There's no cure on the horizon, so we're gonna do the best we can, and we're gonna open it up, and we're gonna hope that hell doesn't break loose.
Yeah.
And the truth is, so far, hell hasn't broken loose.
Correct.
And most places. Now, it's not looking good in Texas. France brought people back to schools, by the way. And there has been 70 kids, evidently, have gotten, there's been an outbreak in various places, and those schools are being closed. So.
And I still can't get a refund on my honeymoon.
It is that true? From whom? But not from, quote unquote, France.
It's from the hotel, like the French company that was planning the tour. Delta actually refunded us because they canceled the flight.
Because they canceled the flight.
Correct.
So the hotel in where? Paris?
One was in Paris. One was in
They're not giving you refunds.
Correct.
All paid 100% in advance.
But they have graciously allowed us to
reschedule?
To reschedule.
So you can come back next year?
Sure. We can pick a new date.
That doesn't sound awful.
Right, but we can't get into the country right now.
No. You will someday be able to get into the country.
Correct.
Is it a new date within a year, or is it a new date
it's
within...
It's supposed to be within a year, but they're going to be flexible because they understand.
Right. Everyone can't just jet off to France at any moment.
Correct.
We need you here on the radio station. Anyway, so these universities are deciding to open up. Notre Dame is deciding to open up. And I do think, although I don't think it's because of football, I do think it is promising for football. And again, I don't think there are going to be 100,000 people in Neyland the first weekend. Do not believe that. Have never believed that. Have said that all along. But is this promising in terms of if you've got students back, you can have football players back? Yes, it is. And so we give you the fight song roundup. Today on the show, by the way, we've been talking for a long time. I haven't set the show yet. GP is going to join us here in just a little bit. Chris Harrington has a piece up about whether we should pass a mask ordinance. I'll talk to him about that. Before I did that, though, I wanted to, there's one other matter while we're talking about on things on campus that I wanted to discuss, and that is the piece that Mark Giannotto wrote about R.J. Hampton. John Martin wrote a piece last week breaking the news that R.J. Hampton was working out with Penny Hardaway. And it was styled as a great bit of news because it means that Penny still reached out to RJ, even though RJ spurned him to go to Australia. Penny reached out to RJ, and this is evidence and validation of the fact that Penny's really in it for the kids. It was universally seen as a great move for the University of Memphis and a great move for Penny. And boy, isn't this going to help him in recruiting. And in fact, RJ's dad said, listen, we would tell anyone basically to go to Memphis. There's another point guard right now that Penny's recruiting, and we're going to tell him what kind of a guy Penny is. I'm paraphrasing, and he should go to Memphis and whatever. It's validation that Penny isn't just in it for himself, just because RJ, honestly, sort of toyed with him and then didn't go to Memphis, that he wasn't holding a grudge. He's bigger than that. And he brought him to Memphis. So then Mark makes a call, and in response to that, and the way I understand it is that, and the way Mark explained it on Twitter was that his call was simply, does this mean other players can be working out? Was not phrased as a, how can you do that kind of call? It was like, what does this mean? To the comment from the Memphis administration. The Memphis administration released a statement saying that this working out with RJ Hampton was not in line with their protocols. I have RJ Hampton work there, and it's not happening again. And so the workouts have been tubed. So that's what's happening. My thoughts on it. They're complicated. I don't care one bit that Penny Hardaway was working out with RJ Hampton at the Memphis basketball facility. I had when John wrote the story, it occurred to me to call Memphis for a comment. I just didn't care. Like it does not strike me as a big deal. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't have written the story. But I kind of applaud Mark for writing the story. When you are a journalist, this is just true. You learn things all the time. All the time. And you decide, is it worth it? Is this story important? Should I write this story? And you do actually, maybe people don't want to know this. It's true. you make a judgment. How big a deal is this, and what's it going to
There's definitely a cost benefit. There's a cost benefit analysis.
Yeah. And I used to do this with John Calipari, like, all the time. At some point, honestly, there was no cost benefit analysis because John already hated me. There was nothing to be lost.
Right, you weren't
by writing
a
critical column about. It becomes easier, honestly, to write that. But it doesn't mean you just suck up to a coaching staff. That would be stupid, right?
I would say irresponsible.
Irresponsible. That's not exactly. It's irresponsible. That's not the job of a journalist. Is to only write things that subscribers want to hear and that the coaching staff wants to hear. If you're doing that, get out of the business. It's garbage. That's not your job.
Don't miss the Jeff Calkins Show tomorrow at 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.